Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Hello, everyone. This is Kelly Fox, and I'm here with Terry Sayer.
Hello.
And we also have Tara Bjornsson, our favorite guest coach.
Hi.
We are in the car, so this is a little unusual. On our way back from our Fearless Living coaching retreat that we just have been at for the last 5 days, and so we have a lot that we can share with you tonight. And we also are going to be wrapping up our month of step number 12, love. So that's very exciting. And this is also our 12th step in the 12 steps of freedom. And so we'll also be talking tonight about how we're going to go forward and continue to have these calls for you to listen to and for us to do and what that's going to look like going forward. But to start us off, Terry, how has your week been?
It's been really an amazing week, spending time with the community of Fearless Living. It's such a supportive group, and when we talk about love, there is so much love in our community for what we do for one another and for our leader, Rhonda Britton, who's developed the Fearless Living pathway for all of us, and her love for us itself as well. So it was a week of connecting, reconnecting, and actually needing new people to connect with as well. So it was really a week of connection.
I would agree. I thought it was an amazing week. One very full of love. We were actually, Terry and I were both on the support team of the retreat, so we got to be backstage, so to speak, and help everything, you know, come together and support our fellow coaches. And it was really... It was a lot of fun, and it was a lot of connection, reconnecting and connect new coaches. Also, our guest coach that we have on the show often, Tara, I said already that she is on the call, and she graduated this weekend, so she is no longer a program candidate or a PC coach. She is a full-fledged Fearless Living coach. Tara, would you like to share with us about how your week went?
It was a really powerful week. We attended a lot of different workshops and some different meetings and stuff. And I think one of the most amazing things about the Fearless Living community in general is what we're talking about tonight and what Terry had said before, which is the love. And to be in an environment like that and just be fully enveloped in that energy and in that kind of support. Because, you know, Rhonda talks about no one can be fearless and alone. And so to be part of a community where everybody really has your back really just supports you in practicing the skills and the tools that, you know, we're already integrating into our everyday lives. So it was really powerful, it was really supportive, and it was really exciting because, yes, I did graduate, and I'm excited to continue on this path and keep spreading the message of fearless living.
Yes, it was a very exciting night. To watch her graduate was exciting and such an honor because we've been, you know, supporting her as she's been going through this process, and she is an amazing coach, and so we're excited to support her as she goes forward with that coaching. I took a huge risk this weekend with we do a play for all of our coaches at the coaching retreat, and we have a fun night where there's a play and some skits, and people in the community get up and share their talents with each other, and it's a way that we can be silly and fun and also you know, show off some other skills that we have. And Kara actually writes our script for the, we call ourselves the Fearless Players, and she wrote an amazing play again this year, which I was the lead in, and it was very, very scary for me. I've been acting since I was at a very young age, but never the star of the show. in the sense that I was in almost every single scene. It was a very big risk for me, and it was just amazing to go out there and to do that and to have everyone on in the cast be so supportive of me, and also to get such a fighting and supportive of me as well. And so that was a big risk that I took this week, and I didn't do it as well as I wanted, but I did it well, and I was really, really excited, and it definitely boosts my confidence and my ability to do the things that that I love. So that was a really big boost for me this week. And talking about love can be, you know, we've talked about this week. We've talked about no judgments. We've talked about setting boundaries. We actually learned about setting boundaries at the conference this weekend. And so we got some additional practice there. But talking about no judgment, you know, I had to let go of that judgment on my performance and let it be what it was and be proud of it regardless of, you know, I messed up this line or whatever my critiques of my performance was, and just, you know, accept the congratulations or the compliments and let that judgment go of myself and really just love being on stage and embracing the part. Terry, you haven't been able to be on the call very much this month, so we would love to hear kind of how you were able to approach either self-love, loving others in a way that you is more authentic to you, or what tools you used around love. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
When I first came into the Fearless Living program and was actually a study client for a program candidate, which was really a great experience for me, and it's how I got introduced to the community. One of the things that I had known my whole life but never been able to practice was that it was important to love yourself, and had read in the scriptures many times to love thyself as thy neighbor, and really never understood what that meant. I mean, intellectually I understood what it meant, but it wasn't like integrated in my soul and my being. And so throughout that process of working through Fearless Living and seeing how fear played a part in keeping me from having the freedom to love myself, I was able to create a visual that helped me to understand self-love. And if you can picture an hourglass, and the top of the hourglass being full of sand, and a plug holding the sand in the top of the hourglass, and no sand was able to pass from the top to the bottom of the hourglass. And what I finally realized and what my breakthrough was and what unplugged the hourglass and allowed the sand to flow forth was the concept of loving myself. And once I realized that I could want to love other people and think I was loving other people, or I was spreading love in my work or whatever venue that I was in, once I was able to understand self-love and self-acceptance and unplug the hourglass and see the sand fall freely to the bottom, that was my feeling of being able to share my love once I loved myself. And until I loved myself and was able to accept myself and more than love myself, like myself, I wasn't able to really love or like others fully. And so that was a real moment of freedom for me, by eliminating the fear that I wasn't good enough or that I didn't know how to love other people or I had been successful in love, was to understand that concept of love thy neighbor as thyself. And that was, in order to love my neighbor, which would be fellow man, humanity, I needed to love myself. And so that visual of the hourglass unplugging the sand so that it could fall, freely fall really helped me to understand the principle of love and loving yourself.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I know, as a kid, I didn't really understand the whole concept of you can't truly love someone else until you love yourself. Because I loved a lot of people. You know, I loved my family. I loved my friends. I loved, you know, my theater family, my church family. I loved, you know, everybody, and I loved them so deeply. And I couldn't understand how that love wasn't real when I wasn't loving myself. And it wasn't until I probably maybe just a few years ago that I fully understood this concept of that my love was in order to get, I was doing things for other people in order for them to do things for me. And that's not necessarily what love is. Love is unconditional. You don't have to get anything back for you to truly love someone. But I was loving to get acceptance. I was loving to feel like I belonged. I was loving so I got attention or so that I felt like someone was taking care of me or I felt special. There were conditions with my love. It wasn't pure. It wasn't clean, as Rhonda likes to say. And it wasn't until I loved myself that my love became clean or became pure. Because there weren't conditions with my love. I was just loving freely. And so that became more clear to me once I was able to see that difference. And then when I actually started to love myself and to see, okay, I can love that person and they don't have to do anything back. And I still love them. They don't have to even return my love. And I can still love them. And so that was a big breakthrough for me in the process of other people. Loving myself, obviously, more, and then loving others more, because it was without condition, without having to get something in return. Tara, do you have anything you would like to say?
Sure. You know, we talked about this as you guys were saying at the retreat and at the workshops and all that, and I got a couple of different things out of that. Over the course of a couple of days, at least for me, it came up in different ways, and one of the things that I'm thinking about was earlier today, we were talking about love, and I don't remember exactly how the concept came up, but Rhonda was talking about looking at your life and looking at the people in your life and the people that you love and that you say you love and looking at the people who say they love you and really kind of even writing it down, like, okay, these are the people that I love. This is how I give my love. These are the people that say they love me. How are they showing it to me? And kind of reevaluating the relationships in your life and where love is present and where it's not as you thought it was, and really making the choice, you know, what relationships do you want to foster and to grow, and what relationships maybe are not supporting you in your freedom. So I took that away from today for sure, and that was a very powerful thing for me. And then we also talked about the concept of giving yourself the thing that you want from other people. So instead of looking to other people for something, like, how can I give that to myself? And I know for myself that can be love. And I spoke to a couple of people at the retreat who also looked to others for a lot of love and realized that, you know, are we loving ourselves as much as we want others to love us? So, you know, those two things. What can we do to love ourselves? And also, I mean, it's great to have the external love, but it starts from within, right? So what can we do to love ourselves? And, you know, how is love showing up in our lives? How do we define that? You know, are we getting that from the people in our lives? Are we giving that the way we want to the people in our lives? So it was really very eye-opening for me, just this whole, because, you know, when we're in our fear, at least for me, when I'm in my fear, the idea of love can seem really scary, whether it's giving it or asking for it or receiving it in return. And in my freedom, it takes on a very different meaning. It's something that, you know, that I'm able to do more for myself and then I'm able to give more freely to other people. So really worked on a lot, and I came away with some really interesting insights about it.
Thank you.
Yes, I really like that whole about concept that you said about, you know, like there's the people that we're trying to convince or to, you know, find evidence or whatever that they love us, but, you know, but they just might not. And if we're really wanting something, if we're really needing something, you know, looking at that and saying, okay, can I do that for myself instead of waiting around or wishing or hoping that this other person is going to provide that for me. And I even made a list of those things that I want from the people that I love. And, you know, and when I get home, I'm going to really look at that list because I think there were like six or seven things on my list. And just, you know, really contemplate, how can I give those things to myself? You know, so one of them was cherished. How can I cherish myself? How can I do that for myself? Or one was be important, feel like I'm important to them. Well, how can I do that for myself? How can I treat myself like I'm important? And I think that comes to self-care a lot for me. I'm not great at self-care. It's something that I've been practicing for a while now, and I'm still definitely not as good at it as that I would like to be. So what is this new, you know, maybe this outlook, how can that support me in further progressing in my area of self-care? We had a speaker at the conference, Elaine Glass. She's amazing. Look her up on, I think her website is Elaine Glass. If it's not, I will find it. It might be called Be Quiet. But I'll look it up and I'll put it on our Facebook page because she was amazing. I talked to her at the retreat, and we talked about, you know, what is a way that I can take care of myself, and what is a way that I can show love towards myself, and what is a way that I can, like, become the main character in my life. Because I feel like, because I've grown up acting, having, you know, play references is supportive to me because it's an area that I understand. And I feel that in my life I've been playing the supporting role, that I find someone, I make them the lead, and I support them, my life becomes about taking care of them or supporting them to become the best that they can be. And I'm like the best, you know, best friend, or I'm the best, you know, cheerleader that they'll ever have. But how can I become the lead? What are the things that I need to do to make myself the leading lady in my own life? And these are things that I've been thinking about for a while now. And what are those things that I need to do for myself so that I can step into that role? And I think that's why the risk this weekend was so big for me, because I was the lead. I was the character that the story was following. You know, my journey was the main the main story of the show. And so it was like, okay, you can now I have like something to reference. And so that was really powerful for me. And I also had a few minutes alone with Elaine, and we just talked about, okay, what's one thing I can do when I get home? And she even wants me to follow up with her, so that'll hold me accountable. We talked about being accountable, and I think it's step five, right? Accountable? Anyway, and so, you know, what are those things that I can do? And one of the things that I decided to do was to have a nightly routine, and we're going to call it Freedom Night Routine or something like that. What can I do to really support myself, do those things to take care of myself, and get myself to bed earlier so that I'm actually getting the sleep that my body needs so that I can function the way I want to during my day? And so I'm really looking forward to looking at that and figuring that out and really improving myself there. We have just under 10 minutes left, and I do want to address what we're going to do going forward, but I think I could probably do that in the last 5 minutes. Is there anything, Carrie or Kara, that you would
like to share that's come up for you, your favorite tool that you use for loving yourself, anything?
Gosh, as you were talking, Kelly, I was thinking about, and to be honest, I don't really remember if this came up over the weekend or if this is just something that's coming up in my own head, because we talked about so much that I'm still really processing all of it. But the idea of loving and being loved versus fear and freedom, I know I touched on that a little before, and as I'm sitting here listening to you, I was thinking a little bit more about that and thinking about my own life. And like when I'm in fear, what I look for and in what I call love is very different than when I'm in freedom. And when I'm in fear and I'm triggered, I might, if I'm defining love differently and defining it from a fear-based place, I might be willing to accept things that I wouldn't normally accept because I'm triggered or because I'm scared and call it love and use excuses and justification and all that stuff to rationalize, like, you know, that I need this situation or I need this person or whatever's going on, and they love me and this is how they love me, just because I might be scared of losing them or just because I might not feel confident or maybe just because I'm out of self-love and so I'm looking to other people for it and I'm filling myself up with whatever I'm defining it from when I'm defining love from when I'm in fear. And then when I'm in freedom, that might look totally different and love might be defined totally different and I might be setting boundaries or having conversations or just looking for it on a different way and providing it to myself in a way that I can't. So I'm thinking about, you know, as we're talking about this, just the stark difference for me that I'm becoming more aware of how I define love as fear and what I might allow in my life or put up with in my life that doesn't mean the same when I'm in freedom. So it's just something that is sort of striking a chord in me and that I invite anyone who's listening to think about as well. You know, how do you define love when you're in freedom? How do you define it when you're in fear? How do you know the difference? You know, so it's just interesting, kind of eye-opening for me to see how different even my boundaries are regarding love when I'm in fear or in freedom. So, you know, moving forward, I think I'm definitely going to be thinking a lot more about that. And that could even apply to myself. What does self-love look like when I'm in fear versus when I'm in freedom? That could change as well. So that's just kind of what's going through me right now.
Yeah. Sort of along the same line, one of the things we talked about today was when we're in any circumstance or experience, which could be one of love, are we filtering that experience or those circumstances or that environment through the filter of fear or the filter of freedom? And so I'm thinking in the terms of loving behavior, and maybe after we've defined what that means to us, for me it would be, if I was in fear, I would probably be judgmental and I would probably be looking for reciprocity, you know, what's this person going to do for me? And that would be a fearful kind of love. And if I was filtering through the filter of freedom, it would be compassionate and kind and forgiving and absolutely unconditional. And so I think that could apply to almost any circumstance or experience, but if I'm going to apply that to love, it would definitely be a way for me to check up on myself and see where I am and what is the filter that I'm using in this relationship. Is it fear-based or is it freedom-based? And I could determine that by the way I felt and the way that I was acting or thinking. And I could check myself, and then I could reframe that and look at it differently. So I just like that idea of filtering the circumstances or the behavior through those two filters of fear or freedom.
And I like most of what you said. I think that we definitely have to define what it means for us. And if we're not acting in accordance with that definition, then most likely we are in fear. And, you know, being able to choose, you know, how we filter what's coming on us and, you know, really getting clear of what freedom is for us and in every different area. You know, what's freedom for us in love? What's freedom for us, you know, in being accountable? All the different steps and surrendering and you know, the present moment and, you know, passion, all the different steps, you know, what, being really clear, what comes forth when we're in freedom and we're accessing that step or tools that we've shared with you over, you know, the last 12 months. And, you know, are we looking at those through the eyes of the filter of freedom, or are we looking at through the eyes of fear? And just really amping up our awareness and, you know, checking in. Are we willing to do anything different? Are we willing to, you know, take steps towards a different direction if need be? You know, and then reaching out for that connection and support to help us get us to that, get us to that different place that we're wanting to be in.
Carrie, when you were talking about the idea of unconditional love and freedom, one of the things that came up for me was kind of me discovering that concept and seeing, like, how, you know, like, yeah, sure, freedom, unconditional love, and my fear used to creep into that and say, if you're unconditionally loving, either to yourself or to other people, well, then you can't set boundaries. Have a voice, then, you know, you can't do those things. So I found that even when I was in the freedom of feeling that unconditional love, fear was creeping in, and I had to really, and I continue to practice finding a balance there. You know, I can love myself and have boundaries with myself, and I can also love other people. And you mentioned forgiveness as well, I think. So, you know, love other people and be in forgiveness and be in freedom and still have boundaries and have a voice. So that's something that I'm becoming very aware of and continuing to practice moving forward. Because fear is really sneaky like that. It'll try to twist your freedom, service itself.
And I think the definition of what is unconditional love is something to really be defined. And it may be different for different people, the way they define that. But for me, unconditional love means that no matter what, I think of it in terms of being a parent, that I have my values and I have my beliefs, and those are my boundaries. And loving my children, no matter what the choice they make, because that's their life and their journey, I'm going to love them, but it doesn't mean that I don't have my boundaries, my values. I'm not going to give up my values in that process either. So, and I still am learning that as well, because I think, as you said, it's kind of a slippery slope when it comes to fear, because as you keep your, as you are true to your boundaries, your values, your beliefs, there fear can creep in there that your children, oh, they're not going to love me because I'm, you know, this is my value and I'm not going to change how I feel. Yeah, so it is. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
Yes, that's very true. Thank you both for sharing that. We only have about just over a minute left, so I want to talk about what we're going to do, what we're going to offer and going forward. Tara and I are still going to be meeting with you, and we're going to actually go through the 12 steps of freedom again, but we're going to have a little bit different setup. We're going to hopefully bring in even more Fearless Living coaches to Brilliance and their knowledge and wisdom, but we're also going to try to have some guests, some more guests on the show that can that are listeners that we can coach, and you can see the process of how you can how coaching supports you and how you can have how you can work through something and go forward and let go of that fear a little bit more, so that you hopefully that will support you a little bit more in moving forward and letting go of your fear when you see your fellow listeners and hear how coaching is supporting them and the tools that they're using. So that's what we're going to do going forward. I'm really excited about it. We hope that you continue to listen and please go on our Facebook page if you would like to be on the show and coached by either Terry or I or one of our guest coaches. And we'll also be advertising that on the Facebook page and the webpage and more opportunities to sign up and to get free coaching online, on air. So thank you for always for showing up and listening to our call. We really appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week. Stay fearless.
Bye.